It's going to be pretty simple today. This is not normal for us at all. But you only have one verse to look at. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Just go ahead and turn to Luke chapter 4, verse 1. It's a unique sermon today. So if you are here today, and you are listening to me, if you're listening to me online anyway, live or archived by the app or CD, then here's what I firmly believe. That as God put this word on my heart, He knew what needed to be shared today at this time. And He knew who needed to hear it. And so if you're hearing it, He has chosen you to hear this word. It's a different kind of message. You all know what I do is I go verse by verse through books of the Bible and I get to a verse and I start typing. And I might go a chapter and get a sermon. I might go half a chapter. Sometimes it's a verse. Sometimes it's less. And God just says, here's what you're saying today. This week as I put this message together, it's a unique one. I think it's going to impact your lives. So I'm going to pray before we even begin that we will all have our hearts and ears and spirits open to receive what God wants us to receive today. Let's pray. God, for everyone hearing this, I pray that all distractions will go away, that our hearts will be open, our minds will be open, our spirits will be open, because Holy Spirit, You've got a unique word today for all of us. Help me, God, as I deliver this, that I would honor the word that You put on my heart for today. God, I pray by Your Holy Spirit that You do some mighty, mighty works in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epic of belief. It was the epic of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. We had everything before us. We had nothing before us. We were all going direct to heaven. We were all going direct the other way. Some of you that are readers will recognize where that comes from. It's from A Tale of Two Cities by Charles Dickens. And as God was putting this message on my heart, there was just something that He wanted me to do. And it took me several hours to find this. But it's like He wouldn't let me rest in my spirit until I got to find this quote. And I thought, well, what are we doing here, God? What is this? I wanted to open the sermon with a quote from a great book. And I got led here. It's Charles Dickens. And he's describing the times of his novel, but he even says, basically, it's the times of any age. When you look at this quote, from the fall of mankind, from when Adam and Eve originally sinned, this is everybody's age. And it looks different, and we dress different, and we have different music, and we have different cultures. But in reality, since the fall of mankind, everything's been the same. It's been this. And what Charles Dickens is describing here is this idea of these opposites existing equally side by side at the same time. At the same time, there's the best of times and the worst of times at the same time. At the same time, there's wisdom and foolishness. At the same time, there's light and darkness, spring and winter, hope and despair, all existing. And I can tell you today, this is us today as well. It's not just us as a world. It's not just us as a nation. I want to forget all that and just get down to the individual. It's you. It's every individual existing with these things inside of us. And there's a few phrases that are going to help us now. We are starting a new sub-series of our series in Luke. Luke is a very long book, so we're breaking it into sub-series. And we have a new sub-series starting today. And I've entitled this sub-series, The Epic of Belief. And now you know why. Now you know where that comes from. Up to this point in our study in Luke, we've seen the arrival of the baby, Jesus Christ, born of a virgin. We studied now John the Baptist, and we saw John the Baptist go from the womb to the wilderness, and we saw him crying out, "Prepare the way." And we remember what the last subseries was called, "Someone is Coming." And the last message that I preached was like the pregame introductions on Super Bowl Sunday, getting ready for that one who was coming. Well, here we go now. The one that John the Baptist was talking about has come, Jesus Christ. He is the Messiah. He has fulfilled all of the Old Testament prophecies for the Messiah. He is God the Son. He is the one that was prophesied. He is the suffering servant, as it tells us in the Old Testament. He is the Savior of the world. And he is entering now his ministry years. We kind of have watched, and we don't know a lot about Jesus' life. And I told you before, anything that you find out about Jesus' life that's not in the Bible, that's just a guess, and nobody knows. We know he was born of a virgin. We know he was a baby. We know he was a boy. He was a toddler. He was a child. We saw him up to 12 years old in the temple. We've now seen him at about 30 years old be baptized by John the Baptist. And now he's come, blessed by the Father. But here's what I want you to see today. Jesus Christ will forever be the dividing line between the epic of belief and the epic of incredulity. He will forever be the dividing line between two destinies. And each person gets to choose their destiny. We all have free will. And Jesus Christ has you right there at that dividing line between belief and disbelief. We're going to look at our passage today. I had you turn to Luke chapter 4, verse 1. But can I just tell you, we're just going to look at two words. My sermon today isn't even based on a verse. It's based on two words. The first two words of Luke chapter 4, verse 1a. I couldn't get past these two words. Then Jesus. Then Jesus. Those two words. Do you know that every testimony from the Old Testament to the New Testament to you, every testimony comes down to those two words. Then Jesus. I could preach the entire Old Testament and lead up to those two words, then Jesus. I could preach the entire New Testament and come to those two words, then Jesus. All those Old Testament saints that believed by faith ahead for the Messiah, then Jesus came and their faith was rewarded. All of us that are New Testament saints, we look back to Jesus Christ and it all comes down to those two words, then Jesus. Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, who lived a sinless life, who died on the cross for all of our sins, who rose from the dead, then Jesus. Because of those two words, then Jesus, it's possible to have the best of times. Wisdom, belief, light, spring, heaven. Everything earthly and eternal good comes because of those two words. Then Jesus. Now I want to just spend it's not like a teaching sermon. This is just something that from this point on, do you know, you get to that point in a message, it's like the altar call. Well, we're starting right now. The rest of the message is the altar call. And at the end of this message, there will be an altar call. And we're going to hopefully see a bunch of you come up here because you need a then Jesus moment today. And so I just want to talk about different testimonies. Maybe you have my testimony. I have the kind of testimony that in the church world, sometimes we thought it wasn't really as valid because it wasn't as shocking as other people's testimonies. Maybe you have my testimony. Maybe you were raised in a good Christian home, Christian parents. I had the two, and parents, I tell you, if you can give your children these two things, man, they have it doesn't mean they won't rebel, but boy, you have really put yourself in a good place. If you can give them a good, solid Christian home life and a good, solid Christian church life, you give them those two things, they can withstand a lot. I had that. I had solid home, solid church, the best that it could possibly be. Not perfect. Church wasn't perfect. Parents weren't perfect. Home wasn't perfect. But really, one of the best you could have. Maybe you have my testimony that at an early age, someone led you to this point of belief. I was 7 years old. You've heard me talk about that before. And the pastor preached, and my mom looked down at me in those hard wood pews there in Cincinnati. Said, would you like to kneel and accept Jesus Christ as your Savior? And I did. I wanted to. Something in me said, I believe in that. So maybe you were like me and you gave your life to Christ early on. Your epic of belief came soon. Now we have sinful nature, and I did. And there were times of rebelling, but minor. And maybe that's you. Maybe your rebellion was minor. Temptation, mistakes. But I believe if you have a solid foundation and you've got a church and a family and people praying for you, you can avoid a lot of the pitfalls of life. And thankfully, I did. But even though my testimony doesn't include words like, well, once I was high on drugs, you know, people have different testimonies. And I always thought, man, I wish I had a testimony like that. And the older I got, I said, thank God I don't have a testimony like that. But my testimony, even that testimony, it comes down to those two words. I lived my life and then Jesus, and I had an epic of belief moment, and I became a believer and I was saved. And without that moment, without that epic of belief moment, my destiny would have been tremendously altered. Maybe you have a different testimony. Maybe you were raised in a Christian home, but it wasn't so strong, and maybe it had some issues with its Christian belief and turned you against church. Maybe you weren't raised in a Christian home at all, but for whatever reason, church just wasn't on your radar. You weren't interested. Those Christians were kind of weird, and you just decided early on to rebel. Now, here's the thing about this world. Satan is a liar. He is a liar. The Bible says he has always been a liar. Because you thought you were rebelling and all you were doing was conforming. If everybody else is doing it, it's not rebelling. It's conforming. I always tell the youth, you want to be a radical rebel? Be sold out for Christ. Because everybody else is doing all the other mess. They're just conforming. But somewhere in your mind, you decided to just kind of rebel. And for whatever reason, you lived your life. There was a season or two of pleasure because there is pleasure. The Bible tells us there can be pleasure in sin for a season. And so you were finding some enjoyment just out in the world, doing your thing. It seemed like the best of times to you. And without an epic of belief, then Jesus moment, you were convinced. But here's what happens, and I tell you what, here's what I thought about doing today. I could put a microphone up here and listen to all your testimonies, but it would take hours. Because you would come up here and tell me, I thought I was living the high life. I thought it was the best of times. I thought I was having all kinds of fun. But here's what happens. You live that kind of life until something. Something's going to happen. Because here's the real deal, guys, and I just have to be honest with you. Satan doesn't love you. Satan hates you. There is a Satan. He absolutely hates your existence. He's not here to give you a good old time party on earth. Satan is here to utterly destroy you, earthly and eternally. That is his goal for you. He comes to kill and steal and destroy. And he wants to kill your faith, steal any part of your life here, and destroy you eternally. So there is going to be an until. Something is going to happen, and he is going to crash your life. And it may be through addiction. It may be through a series of just horrible relationships. But something just wakens you up to where you realize this whole best of times things isn't the best of times. It's the worst of times. And you don't have hope anymore. You have despair. You don't have spring. You have winter in your heart. But maybe you came to that point. Then Jesus. And I don't know how it happened for you. But maybe it was a friend that just was a Christian friend that you finally started talking to and listening to. Maybe it was a church sermon. Maybe it was just you out in the woods reading your Bible. Maybe you're listening online to a sermon. And something just turns on in your mind and you go, I am lost. I need Jesus Christ. You need to take a leap of faith. And some of you did. You took a leap of faith. Because, you know, for some people, and in some ways, it is a leap. You are asking people who maybe before you were saved, you didn't even believe there was a God. And all of a sudden, we're going to believe there really is a God. We don't see Him. We don't see Him out there. We have no visible proof. But we're going to take this leap of faith that, oh my goodness, the God of the Bible really is real. Jesus Christ really is God the Son. So it can be a leap of faith going from atheist, agnostic to incredulity to belief. So maybe you took a big leap of faith. Maybe for some of you it was more of a step of faith because you kind of knew. You kind of knew, but you were fighting it. And for you, it was more of a step of faith to say, you know what, I know I believe. And you have that epic of belief, then Jesus moment. Now, what happens is, and you know this, life is still hard. If you go to any kind of church and it tries to make you feel like, give your life to Jesus and your marriage will be awesome. Your kids will always be wonderful. Your finances will be through the roof. Prosperity, you will always be well. You'll always be wealthy. That is not biblical. You might have all that, but life's still hard. We're still human beings, and the problem with human beings is we hurt each other. And sometimes we're the one hurting, and sometimes we're the one being hurt, but we just hurt each other. And so life's still hard, but those words, then Jesus, your testimony. I want you today, here's what I need you to do. As I go through this, think about your testimony. Where do you fit in all this? And when was your then Jesus moment? Hopefully for some of you, it'll be today. But some of you, think about it. What was your story? Maybe now, maybe, and let me talk to those who have been saved. Okay, you're saved. You had a then Jesus moment. You had an epic of belief, saved. But maybe on your journey in faith, these two words, then Jesus, came in another way. And I'll bet you as you hear this, things will pop in your mind. You will say, yes, that's me. Desperate times. When life was the hardest, when it was the worst of times and despair. Saved, but suffering the consequences of sin, fallen nature. And maybe for you, it's a then Jesus moment that came during physical suffering. And maybe it was your physical suffering. Maybe it's a loved one's physical suffering, someone you know. And something happens that just is a wake-up call. Some of you have gotten this phone call, and some of you got the phone call from the doctors that said the test came in. And here's the bad news. Some of you have gotten a phone call from a loved one. The test came in, and here's the bad news. And physical suffering happens. It's the darkest times. I know in your testimony, you probably, and you may be there right now, but you come to a point where it's the darkest it's ever been, and you feel like it's the darkest it will ever be. And you get to that point, you can't take it anymore. And you feel broken. I'm done. But maybe for you, when you got to that moment, there was an after salvation, then Jesus moment. And I don't know how it played out for you, but a then Jesus moment came. And it could have been miraculous physical healing, because God still does that. When all of a sudden, through prayer and elders praying for you and people praying for you and your faith, that God does some miraculous work and whatever the doctor said was wrong is gone. And there is absolute, and that's a then Jesus moment. You need to write it down and remember. So maybe that was your then Jesus moment. Do you know that in physical suffering, I try to give you balance. And can I just tell you, when you try to, as a pastor, to give balance, then what you do is you give bad news with good news, which people don't like, and they end up going to the churches that only give good news. But I just can't do it. I just got to give you the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God. The truth is, even in our physical suffering, we really don't deserve for God to do anything for us. Because sometimes in prayer, it's like, God, you owe me. I've read my year through the Bible twice, and I bought the book. I did the 12 steps of how to get your healing that some evangelist wrote. So God, you owe me. He doesn't owe you anything. He doesn't owe you healing. And you can't demand it, and you can't claim it. You just believe. You believe by faith. And sometimes He chooses in His way and His will. He gives healing where He sees to give healing, and He doesn't at times as well. That's just reality. But we believe by faith, and we believe for healing. Maybe it comes, maybe your then Jesus moment and physical suffering came a little differently. Maybe it wasn't a miraculous healing. Maybe it was a miraculous strength through the sickness. And you actually have to go through a lot of things, but you make it to the end, and you are now physically whole. And it was hard. And there's no way you could make it through. But then Jesus came, and He gave you the strength and the endurance and the patience to get all the way through to your healing. For some of us, especially you're listening to me, this will be your testimony. Your then Jesus moment when it comes to physical healing came a little differently. Maybe your then Jesus moment came the way mine did for my mom and my dad, and they passed away. Dad was suffering with prostate cancer, and it had made its way into the bones, and so there really was nothing to do. Mom, she died suddenly. She was quick. She had a brain hemorrhage, and she didn't last long, but there was that sickness in there that was going to come out eventually. And I want you to understand that for a believer, for a person who has had an epic of belief moment, and you now believe in Jesus Christ, death is not defeat. And I know we preach that, but I totally believe that. When my dad died, oh my goodness, there's grief and there's mourning, but there's joy. When my mom passed away, there's grief and there's mourning, and that loss never goes away. But don't let any pastor ever lie to you and tell you that if your loved one lives, then God wins, and if your loved one dies, then Satan wins. That whole we declare the victory thing, it's messed people up. Because what happens is your loved one dies, and your pastor has told you for years, well, God wants them to live, and then they die, and you go, well, what happened? And I've seen people's faith get just totally messed up because of that. But for a believer in Jesus Christ, death can be victory. Death can be release and freedom. So maybe your physical suffering then Jesus story ends with your loved one passing away. If they knew Jesus Christ, it's victory. Some of you, you've had a then Jesus moment when it comes to emotional suffering. And as I go through this life as a pastor, I'm well aware that there are more, probably way more people suffering with emotional pain than physical pain. And emotional pain can be unseen. And so we see somebody with physical pain and we know how to pray for them, but emotional pain, which is far more abundant in our culture, it's unseen a lot of times. It comes in a lot of ways, and I don't know what your story is. Think about your testimony. Emotional pain comes sometimes in the very earliest of years, and it's just something that happens early on, and it's just there. And you may not even realize it's there. Maybe it comes in teen years. There are a lot of teenagers right now going through the kind of emotional suffering that we did not used to see in teenagers. We used to only see it in adults. But they're having to deal with things that they should not have to deal with. And it's really hard on them emotionally. And I think you're seeing a lot of what we like to fight against as Christians as far as alternative lifestyles and ways that teenagers express themselves gender and sexually. We want to fight against the symptom when the root of it is the emotional issues that have caused all of that. And so maybe there is some emotional thing that you went through in your teen years, maybe as an adult, some kind of trauma. Maybe you hurt people and you have guilt. Maybe you've been hurt and you have all this pain from that. And then that's your story until those two words. Then Jesus. I think in the church world, we love the physical healing stories because physical healing, someone gets healed physically and wow, we can see it and there's the doctor's report. But I'm telling you, then Jesus and healing can happen emotionally too. And just as there can be immediate physical healing, just like that, there can be immediate emotional healing, or he's not God. And you can come to God, and people have come to God with emotional issues and emotional pain and suffering, and a then Jesus moment happens, and they are free, set free. Now, a lot of times in the physical world, we see that happen, and we see it happen rarely in the physical world, an absolute miracle like that. Usually, it's a through process. So emotionally, there can be that moment. But maybe your story is that your then Jesus moment in emotional suffering was a through process, where God began to work in your life through different people, through your church, through counseling, through whatever it was, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, and you make it through your emotional suffering. But even as you make it through your suffering, you realize that it all comes back down to two words, then Jesus. That moment. Because without those two words, then Jesus, you don't have emotional healing. You don't have physical healing. I don't know what your testimony is, but this morning I want to challenge you. Don't just listen to this as a little sermon. You did your little sermon checklist, go to Cracker Barrel. This is a personal assessment sermon. What is your testimony? What was your epic of belief moment for salvation? And if you haven't had one, you have a chance today. What are your then Jesus moments that have happened in your life where it just, without those two words, you would not have survived? Then Jesus. Because here's what's going to happen. Satan doesn't want you to hear this message. Satan would rather you go to a church that never challenges you. Satan would rather you go to a church that never makes you feel bad, that never makes you do personal introspection on a spiritual level. And he wants to distract you any way he possibly can to keep you from having either an epic of belief moment or a then Jesus moment as a Christian. He's going to mess with you and distract you. And here's how he does it. Here's the biggest way Satan distracts you. Life. Just life. I mean, you all know, just getting up every day and living life, you can go a whole week and go, wow, I forgot to pray. Just life happens, and you're busy, and you're just doing stuff, and you haven't been to church in a month. And you go, really, has it been a month? And your pastor says, yeah. Been a long time. Just because life happens, and things just go and go and go. I have to do this. I want to do this. I need to do this. And busy, busy, busy. And Satan's going to use that to keep you away from an epic of belief moment. Maybe you're missing out on a then Jesus moment because you're just too busy. Good things can keep you. And Satan will distract you with good things. Friendships, relationships, these are all good things. School, schoolwork, you gotta do schoolwork. You gotta get up and go to work and make a paycheck. You're trying to achieve things in life. You're trying to make money because you do need money to live. These are not bad things. The love of money is, but money's not bad. Sports, hobbies, all of these things, music. Satan can use things, and I just want to warn you, Satan can use things that you think are spiritual and Christian and churchy to distract you from a then Jesus moment. And if he's doing anything, look, let me tell you this. If Satan is doing anything to mess with you, you can be assured it was filtered through God first. Satan doesn't just attack you without God So God is allowing something to happen to get your attention. And sometimes churchy things can keep us from having a then Jesus moment. And I just want you to be aware of that as well. Good things can do it, but bad things, Satan will use bad things. Satan will use your poor choices in life to keep you bound for your entire life if you let him. You'll talk to people in counseling and something they did 30 years ago. They still have not gotten past it. And I'll ask them, did you ask God to forgive you for that? Yes, I did. God forgive you for that? Yes, he did. I know God is faithful to forgive. Then Satan's messing with you because you are forgiven. That is done. I don't care how long it was, how bad it was, how much you did. It does not matter. If you have sincerely come to God and you are forgiven, then every time you start to feel that guilt, you just need to say, thank you, God, for reminding me that I am forgiven. That is in my past. I am done with that. I don't look past. I look forward. But Satan will use bad decisions. He'll use your mistakes. He'll use regret. He'll use guilt. Satan does a really good job of using bad church stuff to keep people from having an epic of belief moment or a then Jesus moment. I hear this more than just about anything because I'm a pastor and people will tell me why they don't go to church. You know, if you're a banker, they tell you why they don't save money. If you're a pastor, they tell you why they don't go to church. And they almost always will give me some church story. Some pastor lied to me. Some Christian didn't treat me right. Some this, some that. Nobody in this building has more church mess than I've lived through. When you're in the ministry and you actually see the behind the scenes of it, let me tell you, you don't see all of it. You got to be in the ministry to see all the church junk. Sometimes the ones who leave the ministry the quickest are the ones that have been sitting behind the pulpit. So I get it. I understand church. Church, Satan will use that though, and you've got to push through that. And there comes a point you need to have an epic of belief and then Jesus moment where you say, it does not matter what the church did to me. It does not matter what that pastor did. It does not matter that the church hurt me. I believe in Jesus Christ. And you have this epic of belief, then Jesus moment, and all that church junk goes away. I'm not even going to talk about it. I'm just going to mention two words. This is what Satan uses also to keep you from a then Jesus moment. Politics. I'm done. Not talking about it. But Satan will use it to keep you from having. You'll be so wrapped up in it, he will keep that. Use it. Basically, Satan is going to use everything he can. The good and the bad and the ugly. He does not want you to hear this today. And he doesn't want you to have an epic of belief. He doesn't want you to have a then Jesus moment. So he's trying to stop that. So you're listening to this message and I don't know what your story is. Maybe you've never really had the epic of belief moment. And you might have been attending church for 30 years and you still don't know if you really believe. You're still on that edge of belief and incredulity. You don't know if you believe or disbelieve, but you're doing the church thing. You're trying to do all the right things so you go to heaven, but you're not really sure what you believe. You're on the corner there. It's your choice. And here's the cool thing to me. The choice that every atheist has to say, I do not believe in God, that free will choice was given him by God. God gives everyone the choice to even say, I don't believe in you. God gives everyone the free will to say, well, and people like to say I'm an agnostic. You know, I'm not really sure if that really exists, but it's kind of like they're there on the corner. But whether you're atheist or agnostic, you're there. And here's the problem now for you. You listen to this message. That's a problem for you. Because now I have placed you at the corner. Now you know God is real. Now you know Jesus Christ is God the Son, born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He died on the cross for your sins and he rose from the dead. He is the only way to salvation, and now you know. And so there you are at the corner of belief and disbelief, and you don't have any other choices. You either go one way and say, yes, I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. I believe by faith, which means I don't understand it all, but something in me just says, yes. I believe. And you spend the rest of your life trying to figure it out. But you know that you know that you believe, so you choose, I believe in Jesus Christ, or you turn the other way and you say, no, I choose to not believe. I don't accept Jesus Christ. I reject Jesus Christ. And I just need to let you know, and I know I don't always come across this hard, but here's the deal. If you say today, well, I'm not going to accept Jesus Christ today, but I'm not saying I reject him. I'm just going to wait till a later time. That choice doesn't exist. That's a lie from Satan. You have the choice right now, today, to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior or to reject him. And those are the only two choices that I have put in front of you. Here's the deal, and I don't want to do the whole scare you out of hell thing. I grew up with those kind of sermons, but here's the deal. A lot of us grew up with those scare you out of hell moments, and you got saved because you just were scared of hell. And then the church world said, well, we don't want to do that. And so we stopped doing it. And the truth is, there is some truth there. So while I'm not trying to do the old evangelist scare you out of hell thing, I do need to let you know, you, like they used to say in the old revival services, you are not guaranteed tomorrow. You're just not. Things happen. Sickness happens. Accidents happen. People die. And so I don't want to manipulate you. I just need to tell you, you have these two choices, right? You're going to have an epic of belief moment or an epic of disbelief moment. That's what you're going to have today when I bring you to the altar call. Let me talk to those who are saved. And you're going through something physical. And maybe it's a long-term thing. Maybe it's short-term. Maybe it's major. Maybe it's minor. You need a then Jesus moment, and you know you do. And you're not going to come up here, when I ask you to come forward to the altar, you're going to come up here and you're going to say, I have a physical need, and maybe you want to come stand in for somebody else that has a physical need, and you're not going to come demanding, now God, here's what I want you to do. I came forward, I stepped on a carpet, it's time for you to do your job now, God. You know, that's what we do sometimes. You just come forward and say, I just need a then Jesus moment. And God, whatever, however you want that to be, I need a then Jesus moment in my physical suffering. Maybe you have emotional suffering and you need a then Jesus moment. And maybe you've never had one. Maybe you didn't know you could have one for emotional suffering. And maybe this has opened up your eyes. It's not just people with cancer that need a then Jesus moment. It's people with a lot of hurt and pain and stuff that's going on inside. And you need a then, and you're not going to tell him how. It could be deliverance. It could be he's going to give you strength through. It could be he gives you peace in the midst of it. Whatever it is, you need a then Jesus moment. You're going to come forward a moment and you're going to ask him for that. Here's what can happen when that happens. When you come in faith, and you say, I believe in Jesus Christ. I want to be saved today. I want a then Jesus moment for physical suffering, for emotional suffering. I take a leap of faith. For some of you, wow, this is going to be a leap of faith. Some of you right now, you're starting to sweat. Your hands are starting to get clammy. Because you know you're supposed to come forward to the altar. And you didn't know I was going to do this. And I don't normally do this. And you thought this was a safe church that didn't do those kind of things. But now you're here, and I am, and you think, I need to, and it's a leap of faith for you, because it's hard. What are people going to think about me? Man, you know what? Don't worry about that. The people in this church are going to love you, and they're going to pray for you. And you don't need to share details. You're coming up for God. So it's a leap of faith, or it's a step of faith, and we're going to believe for healing, we're going to believe for deliverance, we're going to believe for strength through whatever God wants to do. But this is the chance, and God gave me this message this day for this group of people at this time for you to be able to respond to this altar call. So in just a minute, you're going to come forward. But before we do, I'm going to close with a quote again, and it's not Bible. I feel weird doing this because I'm such a Bible guy. It feels weird to do a sermon with only two words of the Bible for me. It feels weird to use a Charles Dickens because that's not my style. But I just want to put this quote up on the screen again, and we'll close with this because here's the deal. With an epic of belief, then Jesus moment, it can be the best of times. Without Jesus, it will be the worst of times. And Satan will fool you. You will think it's the best of times. It is not. And he will crash your life. With Jesus, you can have wisdom, real wisdom that comes from God that the world will think is foolishness, the Bible says. Without Jesus, you're going to have foolishness and you're going to think it's wisdom. But it's not. With Jesus, you will have light. Even though there's darkness all around you, you will feel light. Without Jesus, it will be darkness. The Bible says those people walked in darkness and they didn't even know they walked in darkness until they saw the light of Jesus Christ. With Jesus, you can feel like it is the spring of hope in your heart, but without Jesus, it will be the season of despair. With Jesus, you have everything before you. Everything. Without Jesus Christ, you have nothing before you. And if you think you do, it is a lie from Satan and he will bring it down. He will crash your life. And at that moment, you will know there's nothing left but a then Jesus moment. But I'm asking you now, don't wait till that point. With Jesus Christ, it says here, we are all going to heaven. And without Jesus Christ, we are all going direct the other way. If you need an original epic of belief moment and you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior today, this day, it's going to be come to the altar. I'm going to ask you in a moment to come up here and I'm going to ask you to fill over here. This side, I got the carpet, so just kind of fill the carpet and spread out all the way over to the wall. We'll try to keep the middle open here. On this side, carpet all the way over to the wall. Whoever needs to come, you come for salvation. Band, come on up and get ready to play some songs behind me because we're going to worship as we do this. Now, if you need physical healing, you need to get up and come up here right now and stand. You need salvation? Come on up. You need physical healing? Come on up. You need emotional healing? You need a then Jesus moment for anything in your life you want to stand in for somebody else for a then Jesus moment. Both sides. Just fill both sides right now. The band is going to start playing. We're going to go into a time of worship, but we're going to pray for you. Now, here's the deal, guys. As you're coming, listen to this. Here's what typically happens at our church. People come forward to the altar. They hear me pray a little prayer. And they go back to their seats and we finish the worship time. I don't want that to happen today. Anybody old church folks know what I mean when we say we pray through? Praying through means you don't come up here, get a little sprinkle prayer from the pastor, and then go back to your seat. Praying through means you guys are desperate. You just took a leap of faith. You just took a step of faith. That's kind of scary what you just did. So now you need to be serious about how you're going to pray. I want you for the next... We're going to sing... But you're not going to leave. And here's what I'd like you to do. I don't want you to leave the altar area until you in your heart, you came for a then Jesus moment. So I don't want you to leave till you get it. Some of you, you might be here all through the next service. I don't know. We've had times in churches before when we did double services where the next service started and there were people still at the altar from the first service. That's absolutely fine. You can kneel on the carpet. You can sit on the carpet. You can sit down the stage. You can, wherever you want to sit. If you need to stay here for a long time, just stay here. But you pray, and you pray desperate. Now, that's going to look different for different people. Because some of you, this is going to be emotional. There may be, you may just all of a sudden get hit with a flood of tears, and you just want to cry. That's cool. Go for it. Do it. Some of you, you're not emotional that way. It's not going to happen for you that way. But whatever you need to do to be serious today, to say, God, I'm not playing around. I need a then Jesus moment and I'm desperate and I am here for that then Jesus moment. Whatever you need to do to make that happen, you may just want to lay on your face. I don't care. Today it's you and God need to talk and figure this out. So I'm going to pray for you generally here and then we're going to sing a couple songs and stay as long as you want to stay. If some of you want to head back during the second song, but you're welcome to stay here for the next 30, 40 minutes. Until you prayed through and received your then Jesus moment. That's how seriously I think this message was meant to be this morning. So let me pray for you. And as we sing, you just keep on praying. God, I thank you for these that have come forward. I thank you for those online who have answered this call, God, and they are stepping forward in their own hearts right now, believing for a then Jesus moment in their life. God, I reach out to them right now, wherever they're listening, God. Father, for these up here in this altar area, God, I pray you would speak to their hearts. They need you, Jesus Christ. They need a then Jesus moment. They need salvation. They need physical healing. They need emotional healing. They are here for somebody else. Whatever it is, God, you see their hearts. You know. So, God, I pray for miracles. I pray for the Holy Spirit to fall in this place and touch the lives of these people here at the altar right now, God. We are fixing our eyes on you, Jesus Christ. We are focused on you right now. So God, for this next however long it takes, move by your Spirit here in this altar area. Those sitting out there, just pray. Pray for these that are here at the altar. If you want to come forward and lay hands on them, whatever. Do you guys out there in the congregation, pray for these here at the altar. Let's worship, let's sing together, and let's just see what God does in our lives.